The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Listen, you have to run the rule over Bulbgate, which is happening here in
Anton,
News Talk
so,
this week. Yeah. Anton says that the bulbs I bought on Sunday, which were half price, delighted with myself, will not flower.
Well, you see, there's spring flowering bulbs and there's summer flowering bulbs.
Yeah, these were all summer flowering.
Well, there you go, it could be grand.
June, July. Yeah, that's what it said on the packet anyway,
Mari. Isn't it lovely out now and perfect time to be putting them in? They're better in the ground than in your garage, I can tell you that.
Anton Savage. Now. Right, we're talking about nostalgia plants.
We are. Yeah. You know when you go in... Yeah. I mean, have you ever gone to, you know, a garden and gone, oh, I remember that scent, you know, from somewhere.
Something takes you back.
Yeah, something takes you back. So lilac for me is that plant. We used to have the only tree we had in the garden was lilac and then loads of irises. So that kind of brings me back. But we have a tree in our garden at home. It's, they're 100 years and it's a lilac vulgaris, just an ordinary lilac. Flowers every year beautifully and it only gets better and better with time. So when you're putting in a plant, think of not just now, think of the future. Think of how it's going to be in 20, 30, 50 years time. Mm-hmm. Beautiful plants. And they cost you very little at the time and they give so much back over the years. So that's one of them. But wisteria would be another one. Beautiful, you know, plant, wall plant or over a pergola. But every time people see them, they're taking photographs of them because they're just so glorious in the sunshine when you see them and all the beautiful panicles of flowers.
And roses as well.
Oh,
I mean,
roses,
they
yeah.
will have nostalgic memories for people, but also you can share them when they're doing well.
Yeah, of course. You see, the likes of Dublin Bay. So years ago, people gifted roses when somebody bought a house. That was kind of the thing. And you had, you know, beautiful rose on your house. And then maybe the house was sold or going to be sold down the road, you know, when the parents have passed on or whatever. But you still want a bit of that plant. And you can have a bit of that plant. You can actually have a clone of it by taking a cutting off it. And maybe three or four cuttings, depending on how many siblings there are. And then each one gets gifted one of those cuttings and then they grow it on.
Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully.
Hopefully,
if it
yes.
works.
Now, I don't know about in your house, but you know yourself.
How do you do a successful rose bush cutting? How do you make sure, guaranteed success now? That's what
so
we're looking
there's
for.
A lot of new growth at the moment, new fresh growth. So new fresh growth, this, you can do it twice. You can do it in the dormant season, which is November to February, or you can do it now as things really are shooting off. So new cuttings, or new growth will have lots of cell action, so they'll be quicker to root, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of pencil length. Take off a number of the lower leaves. You can use a bit of hormone rooting powder or honey, dip it in the little cutting into the base of that or into the honey, and then put it into a mix of compost and horticultural sand, little plastic bag over the top. So when the water comes off it, it hits the top of the bag and comes back down and keeps it moist while it's trying to root. The whole idea is to get it to root before it gets waterlogged, you know.
And how long do you keep it in the bag for?
So what happens is you'll see little top growth of it. So take the bag off, have a look underneath and see if you see any white roots poking down, then you know it's rooted. So take the bag off and then just keep an eye on it. Better to take it out of that situation, put it into a slightly shaded area so it doesn't get burnt. And then you can pot it on then in...
So you're keeping it in the original pot
for
a while.
Yeah.
And
just
then you're...
baby it along. And then you can pot it up into a bigger pot.
When it's sturdier.
When it's sturdy and has roots of its own and it's ready to rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Helen and Bray has been in touch. I love lavender, but whenever I plant it in pots, it dies in a few months. Can you ask Mari for some advice on helping it to thrive? I almost bought lavender actually on Sunday I was in the garden centre. It is so nice, like the smell. Then I thought, I'm just going to kill that. So I left it there.
It's to be treated mean. You know, it's a herb. It's basically a side of mountains plant. The problem is we have a lot of rain in the winter and it doesn't like that. So if your pot got waterlogged, that's a huge problem for lavender. So if you're putting it in a pot, loads of grit and stones and all sorts of that sort of thing, and a big heavy kind of mix of compost mixed through that. So there's loads of drainage. Make sure that, you know, your pot is on these little legs that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So that the water drains out.
So drainage essential.
Yeah. Sometimes people cut them at the wrong time. So they flower. Then after the flowers are kind of over a bit, you give it a haircut then. You give it a cut then, not at the end of the season, just as we're coming into winter and it can't hack it because it's trying to grow little new shoots. So if you do it after it finishes flowering, has all that time before winter sets in to put on new growth to, you know, to withstand the winter, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the trick with them.
So I wonder why her lavender in pots is dying.
So there's
Been too nice to it.
She's been too nice to it, and maybe it's waterlogged and maybe has vine weevil. So they're the three kind of things that can happen.
Marion's a novice gardener, okay, and has a large north-facing garden to the front of the house, looking for low-maintenance plants and what to set for the planting area around the septic tank.
Now, septic tank is a difficult one. We have one down in Wexford, but you can't put anything too close to the septic tank that has big roots on it. So you're better off going with some grasses and stuff. A little bit of movement to disguise kind of where that area is. So steeper, I suppose, ponytail grasses. You've got, what else is there? Little, oh, God, it's gone out of my
It'll
mind.
Come
now.
To you, but what did you
Miscanthus,
say?
Miscanthus, yeah.
What did you say?
Steeper.
Steeper, what is that?
Gigantea. So it's a big grass and it has these beautiful oat-coloured flowers.
Like a pampas grass, is it?
Yeah, but it's not a pampas grass. It's much less vigorous than a pampas grass and more beautiful flowers, if you like. So mm-hmm. it's very fine seed head that just kind of waves in the wind.
So you're trying to disguise the septic tank area.
And so take your mind off it, but without putting stuff that's going to invade. You know, you don't want anything that's going
root
to get into
growth, disrupting the ground. Yeah, yeah. And then tell me, for the north facing garden, what would be low maintenance for her?
Well, north facing is there's a whole load of stuff you can put in, but it's just a case that it won't flower as well. So you've got viburnum tinus. You can put in many different viburnums, Daphnes. You can put in hollies, you can put in ilex. There's so much you can put in a north-facing garden. Won't flower as well. So say you have a north-facing wall, you could put hydrangea petiolaris. If it's on a south-facing wall or a west-facing wall, it'll flower really well. On a north-facing wall, you get a few flowers, but it'll be perfectly fine.
Lower your expectations.
Lower your expectations, especially on a north-facing wall. Or tracheospermum, which is a jasmine evergreen, jasmine. On a north-facing wall, you probably won't get many flowers. You'll get a little bit of scent, but on a south-facing wall, you'll get loads of flowers mm-hmm. and lots of scent.
So Marion's probably going to get a nice green garden with a few flowers.
Yeah, exactly. But you can have different coloured, shrubs and things like that. You don't like photinia and stuff like that. So you don't have to have it all green.
Here's a message sent through gritted teeth, I would imagine. Yeah. Can your garden expert advise what is a quick growing creeper that flowers? I have an ugly wall that the neighbours built and I need to camouflage it. Raging. They're raging. Come on, help
them.
Yeah,
so again, if it's an ugly wall, this isn't quick growing, back to the hydrangea petiolaris, but it'll cover that whole wall. If you buy a big enough plant now, the whole wall will be covered in maybe three years' time. You can go for Cleanthus pernicious, which is the one with the lobster claw and beautiful flowers on its lobster claw. You can go for a Dublin Bay Rose. You can go for, you know, there's so many different gorgeous things you can put on just to spite them next door mm-hmm. for putting them all up.
That's what the aim is there. Rhododendron, hydrangea and azaleas. Can you put them in pots?
You can, of course. You can put rhododendron, you know, the bigger versions need obviously a massive pot, but azaleas, the smaller azaleas, can be certainly put in a pot. There's lots of stuff that can put in pots, but you have to top dress every year, which means you're taking out a good bit of the compost at the top of the pot, putting in new stuff, putting in a feed. And with those particular plants, you have to water with your rainwater, not your limey owl water from your tap if you're living.
Really?
Yes.
Well, we didn't know that, Mary.
Yeah, you see. And then you're wondering why the leaves go all yellow, you see, because it's not the right water.
Unless so collect the rainwater.
Collect the rainwater, yeah, exactly.
Lilac, nasturtium, snowdrops, all memories of my mother's garden catching bees in jam jars 65 years ago.
Oh,
the happiest
lovely.
Of memories.
Yeah.
Isn't
gorgeous.
That? Doesn't that give you reason enough does, now to go out and plant? Yeah. Never mind what Anton Savage says to you about your bulbs.
Exactly.
Mary, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Remind us of your Instagram, because I know you do great stuff on there.
Yeah, mine was hacked a few years ago. So mine is Mary Staunton Official.
Oh, lovely.
Which I believe.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's good enough. That's good enough for us. Thank you so much. The Go Loud app is where you go if you missed anything. The team today, Cormac McDonough on sound, producers Alex Russo, Helena O'Toole and Dee King, research by David O'Connor, and our broadcast assistant is Anne-Marie Kane. Andrew.
The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.